I'm Chuck, and I'm an addict. And I'm grateful to be here and I'll try not to talk as long as Craig did. We all have lives and we must get on with them. At any rate, you people that are in the house and have been blessed with the opportunity to change your life, this is truly a gift from God. People that help and enable places like this to continue, so drug addicts, alcoholics get help. It's just a wonderful thing, and it's the reason that I'm here to participate. To tell the truth, I'd rather be watching the fight. I'm a very simple man. I like my family. We all watch the fights together. I like my grandkids, my three wives. We are actually, through recovery, we're all back together as friends. I have one wife. At any rate, people left because they had to leave because I was killing myself. And as you know, there's really nothing you can do for an addict or an alcoholic who's using. My story is much the same as many of you, and in another way, it's different. And the parts of it that are different have helped save my life in sobriety. I know some things that some of you might not know, that everything is not enough. You know, as an addict early in my addiction, I always had, you know, if I only could have this, if I only could have that, you know, if it just wasn't such a dilemma in obtaining money, you know, well, my story came that I had everything. I ended up with everything. And at the highest point of my addiction, and this isn't to glorify or romanticize, this is a fact. I did a quarter of an ounce of China White every day. Every day. It took me, the first time my dealer, I called him up the same day to cop again. And he said, "You're selling this up pretty quick, huh?" I said, "I'm not selling it. I'm using it." And he said, "You're not cutting it?" Cutting? Why would I cut? Anyway, he made an emergency call. He was actually a friend, and he was very concerned that if anything happened to the sacred cow, if anything happened to him, that there was no amount of street dope that could get him straight. So I actually did go into my first hospital. It took me 90 days to detox. It took 90 days. And I want to tell you, you would think that that would be enough, because it kicked my ass. It just kicked my ass. But you know, the amazing thing about, you know, an addict, we recover real quick, and we're not quick on the uptake, you know, we forget. So I continue. I've been blessed through my life. I've been. I'll tell you a reason. One of the reasons that I participate in a lot of places that deal with recovery and different houses. I work at a place called Cry Help in Los Angeles, and Oasis, a woman's place. One of the reasons that I do this is, And actually, interesting enough, Craig, mentioned that he didn't get as much out of these places as he might have. I learned at a very young age that there aren't very many dedicated people in life. And I learned it a very, very hard way. My mother, I'm a twin. I have a twin sister, and my mother had us when she was 18. In a time when single parents just weren't around. And my mother put my sister and I in an orphanage. And I became very aware of people who didn't care. I became very aware of people who were abusive, had no business doing what they were doing. And in my adult life, when I had an opportunity to help these places become better places, to be the best they could, I did. But I have to tell you that this place is called Woody Crest. Actually, their anthem was "The Home for Friendless Children." that was their moniker. And I'll tell you, I was very frail. I had one weak eye that went in, kind of stared at his nose, and they put glasses. They blacked out the good eye, so the weak eye would kind of all over the place, trying to find its way to the middle. I was born with a foot problem, so I had corrective shoes, and they came up a little below my knees. That was like braces. And I also wet my bed at this place. The only thing I didn't have was a sign that said "kick my ass." What happened for me one day was the fear was just so overwhelming. I mean, I was this little kid being abused. They actually eventually did put a sign on me stating I wet my bed and sent me to school. I mean, this is people that care for children, you know. So I made a commitment, as I said, to make sure that people's care can be the best that it can. And besides speaking, I do benefits and my band and I have raised some nice sums of money to enable places to better serve. And the bottom line is the 12 steps, but in today's society, there are many problems that go along with addiction and many crosses to bear. People come in with a lot of baggage. At any rate, I mentioned the differences. When I got out of this place, my mother did eventually come and get my sister and I. And I couldn't read. I was so shut down. I was so shut down that I didn't hear anything. I just didn't hear anything. And so I ended up going to a private school and I learned to read. In 2 years, I learned and did very well and ended up going to college. My life changed. The first thing that I ever did well was sports, and it defined me. In New York, I was an all-city basketball player, and actually came to California on a basketball scholarship. I went to college playing college basketball. I was a world-class athlete, and by the time I was 15, I'd already played the Apollo in Harlem with my group called the Rondells. At a very young age, I had a doo-wop record, and all these special gifts God gave me because I was such a damaged young man. Now, I turned these gifts into hustles and enabled me to use until I was almost 50 years old. I'm talking about a lifetime abusing. I am clean over 11 years now. been the most wonderful gift in my life. I turned 50 before I had a new home. That's a lifetime of addiction, a lifetime, a wasted life. Now, because I was so gifted, I achieved some wonderful, wonderful things. And it's amazing, when the man who introduced me, who got all the figures wrong, you know what, it's amazing, because I'm just abusive, that's all there is to it. You know, you give me a hole, I'll just crawl right in. Anyway, you did fine. To be accurate, it's mind-boggling. There are only 15 acts in the history of the recording business that have had more success than we have in consecutive hits. We're 21. We're ahead of Houston. On and on. Names. 90 million records. So it wasn't enough. Everything wasn't enough. I ended up, now this is the magic of addiction and our minds. The best year I had, and this was in the mid-70s, I made $15 million. My best year. By 1989, I was homeless. You really gotta be a fuck up to work that out. A lot of it went to lawyers because my goal was to use. Actually, Robert Shapiro was my attorney for years. He kept me out of jail until I couldn't afford him anymore and I went directly to jail. That should be in Monopoly. No Robert Shapiro, directly to jail. And, it wasn't fun in there. Anyway, what happened to me was because I had so much potential, and it was the 80s, I was put into one rehab after another. My wife, who was sober and was an attorney, I'd wake up in hospitals. At the end, there were 37. 37 rehabs. It was kind of a career move. Research for the book. And I want to let you know, I didn't hear a thing. I didn't hear a thing until I got to Cry Help. And they treated me like a drug addict. And not a celebrity. But before that happened, I'll tell you what happened. I started, the detoxes started to affect my brain. I started to become psychotic. And finally had a seizure. And suffered from complete dementia. And they put me away. I was locked down in a ward. You know, for people who just, you know, didn't know their names. because of the past and the work I had done and the music that had brought a lot of joy to a lot of people, there was this one woman there that worked with children who suffered from strokes and stuff. And she took me on and she thought that the part of my brain that I'd lost was a redundant part. They could teach another part of the brain to function. So she went through a plethora of tests. I mean, every day it was new. Bill has a dog and a cat. How many pets does Bill have? Who the fuck is Bill? Check. Anyway, this woman This woman, months, taught me. I relearned. And that is a commitment of excellence. A woman gave me another chance at life. Now, the unfortunate thing was, I didn't have any program. So, I went out and used again. And within a couple of weeks, the connection started to fail. And I called my attorney and said, I need some money and I won't buy. And my speech was so impaired, she called this doctor. Actually, I stole her car that day. I figured I paid for it, I was taken. I just couldn't figure out how to drive the thing. I was really gone. Anyway, they found me. I lived in this abandoned building in South Central LA actually for a year and a half. That's a whole other long story. It's amazing how, you know, you just find a place where no one cares if you're drunk. Well, you're not killing anybody, you're fine. You know, I was the least of the problems. Matter of fact, there's a crack house upstairs, and it was, you know, kind of like Odd Man Out. The cops would come in and crash in, and they bust open our door, and they go, "Now leave these guys alone." It was like, we weren't worth arresting, you know. And they clear up the crack. Well, I guess the crack guys were causing crimes all over town. And we were having trouble getting out of the room. You know, it's me and this other old guy. I mean, I called him old, so he was old. Actually, his name is Mark, and I went by and got him. I went back and got him. After I had a couple of years, I found him, and I brought him to cry help. And he got 9 months, and then the old game started in my mind. And I found him again, and I brought him to the sister house of cry help, which is Sokol. And they threw him out after 8 months. And now he's just roaming the streets. He's about 68. No hustle. You know, all methadone. And usual story. I've been blessed. And the people that are here are blessed. The addicts that are here are blessed. And this is a gift. This is a gift from God. This 12-step program is a gift. It's a gift from God. I mean, it really is a plan to change our lives and to have a wonderful life. I've had two children in sobriety. I have a 21-month-old and an 8-year-old. My older children have two grandchildren. I have 6 children altogether, and I'm not stuck. No, I'm actually slowing down a little. Anyway. That actually I just thought about that. I shoot myself. Just more grandkids would be fine. My life is full because of these 12 steps and a program of action which I've learned to live. And I want to tell you, when you're 50 years old and you've lost your fortune and you have nothing, and I want to say I had nothing. What I had was 126 pounds and 15 teeth. That's who I was, in an attitude. You know, funny thing is, I remember when I went into cry help, and they said, "Okay, take a shower." I went, "No, it's cool. I don't do that." They said, "Get in a goddamn shower, you stink." Anyway, I was so sick, they just let me sit there, on a chair. And this guy came and shaved me. Personally, I think he enjoyed it too much, but that's another story. And I remember 126 pounds. Like, I'm 210 right now. 126 pounds. And the insanity of this disease. I remember getting out of that shower, looking in the mirror, going, "Looking good." Really, I was insane. Insane. And I spent the better part of almost a year there. It took me a long time. And I found out I had emphysema. I had one black lung. I had hepatitis C. And I was very sick from it. I didn't think I was going to make it. They almost discharged me. But they knew I had no place to go. And they let me stay. They just watched me very carefully. Kept me working. It was unbelievable what they did. I've got my hepatitis C under control. The emphysema was really bad, and I couldn't briskly walk across the room. But in the past 11 years, I spent 5 days a week in the gym, and I have pushed my lungs that I actually can beat the emphysema test. I can beat it. It shows I don't have it. But I do. If I do something real quick, I have to sit down. I've learned how to breathe. I've learned how to sing. I work 89 days a year. I have no problem. I have problems carrying my kids, which pains me this Halloween. My youngest one, I had trouble carrying it. It was too much for my lungs. But, so you take that, 50 years old, you have no reason to live. Why get sober now? I had nothing. My body had broken down. And what happened to me was the wonderful miracle of AA and Narcotics Anonymous and this wonderful program. It gave me hope that I could reinvent myself and my life and become a productive man and become a father to the children I already had. And I did all of that. And I became a husband after the fact to my ex-wives who, and I mean this, we all spend all our holidays together. We all of the family, all the wives. It's quite unique situation. I'm here to tell you that everything can change. Surrender, give up your ideas because you know they suck. You know what I mean? Give it up, read the book, get into the book. See, people will let you down. This book is the Holy Grail. It is full of information that will change your life. You know, service, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And the sad thing about it is we come in here tore up and rarely do we do all the work. Put an investment in for the first time in your life, maybe the first time in your life, doing something so completely that it will pay off more than anything you've ever done in your life. I never thought I'd be 60 years old, raising young children, having an exciting, wonderful life, and being full of the love of God and what this program has given me. I'm so grateful that I got to come here, and I hope you guys support this wonderful cause, and thank you so much.